John Bertuzzi joins us, as he always does, on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. Today is no different. And I believe it was number 44 who predicted initially before the season began that he liked the Oilers to win the North Division. Isn't that where you went?
Yeah. And I'm still there. Like I said, the cream always rises to the top, and the best players in the league always find a way to get it done. I think it's going to be a little bit disheartening at times for those guys putting up that kind of points and playing that consistent each and every night and not climbing the standings as much as they should. I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done with Edmonton, but man, when you got two of the greatest players in the planet on one line, you got to like their chances and when they get into the playoffs.
Well, and Bert, you know what another thing is, and we don't talk a lot about it here, and we will tonight. You are a massive Kenny Holland fan. Listen, relationships mean something in the NHL. And Jesse Puljujarvi did not care for how he was treated at Edmonton. You wanted more from him from how he was drafted. And it just seemed that Ken Holland just had that magic touch with this kid and his agent, who was outspoken, to say, hey, don't put on what happened to you in this organization on me. It's completely different now. And that's got to mean a lot, relationship, because that kid is going to be a sniper. He's played some good hockey for them when most thought he was done.
You know, he's a very good hockey player. It's just about having patience. And unfortunately, in the past, teams never had that. Kenny is a man who thinks first, reacts later. I've got the most up respect for Kenny with his patience with players. But his relationship with players, like it makes the world and your time a better place when you have a relationship with your GM, that you can have an open door policy, and it goes with coaches too. Like this rough and gruff kind of back in the past kind of relationships, man, it really doesn't do any justice or any help. The more you have an open door policy and everyone can be honest with each other and able to speak what you feel is going on and all that, and Kenny's always had that open door policy. Never shuts it for anyone. He'll have an open discussion with everyone. He'll tell you the truth. And he'll also help you out. Like, I remember there was a time where I wasn't getting much. And I know that I spoke to Kenny. I was like, hey, I just need an opportunity to get some more ice time, whatever. And I know that Kenny doesn't say to do this, but he'll be an influence if he has you in his corner. And with Babcock, and I know I ended up going with Pavel and Mule, and we ended up going on a major league role and playing some very good hockey and getting a lot of points. And I just thought at that point in time, I was feeling great. I needed a little bit more ice time, and it was the open door policy with Kenny. And I really believe Kenny's going to get the job done there. He's still a newbie in there trying to make it his team. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but the pieces that he does have, he's got, like I said, he's got the two greatest players in the world, and he does have some very good secondary pieces. Nugent Hopkins is playing excellent. I like Cassian's game. Tyson Berry's playing a lot better. They're a time away from being a top Stanley Cup contender.
Not every office is as open door policy as, say, Kenny, though, right? Like, I feel like there's probably some coaches and some managers that you had over the years that would have said, hey, why don't you go take a flying leap into the frigid lake of Lake Michigan right now? Am I assuming? Can I assume correctly?
No, you're right. I had it with Detroit, and I had it with Vancouver. The rest of them, this is not really a knock. Well, in Calgary, I had it with, because Mike Keenan was there. So I could have discussions with him, and guys can have discussions with him. The other places, I can't say I had any of that. So it was just, it was new, it was different. To me, I'd like, to be honest with you, you really don't want to talk to the coaches or to the GM. The less you have to talk to them, the better I feel that you're rolling. So there's really nothing to talk about. But it's also those times where you feel you can give more, you can do more, and it's just you need a little bit more of a leeway in order to come in there and discuss and say, hey, listen, just give me an opportunity here, I'll do it and all that. But I don't think there's a lot of places like that, if that's what you're asking, which I know that's what you're asking, and I think it's very far and in between. Brian Burke was an open book policy, one of the best. That's why I have him, Kenny Holland, and Mike Keenan as some of the.
But Bert, you probably hear it back though, right? Like, you probably get it back though in the same way. Well, where it's like, hey, I want some more playing time. It's like, yeah, but you don't deserve it. Maybe you probably have to hear that.
But that's just being open and honest. And I said, I'll tell you right now, if you give me 5 games at 18 minutes per game with some top players, I'll show you what I can do. Sometimes you have to be confrontational and you got to sell on yourself. And I did a lot of that near the end, saying, hey, I still got some game left. Give me an opportunity. Play me some minutes. You never know what you got. The worst thing that can happen is, hey, maybe I'm wrong, and I go back to the third or fourth, and I keep plugging away in practices or try to get an opportunity another which way. But, yeah, it does go both ways. It's not just like, hey, give me this. There's nothing given in the NHL. You got to work and ask for everything. But there's a respect factor that those gentlemen that I spoke about that you build relationships with, that they have for you.
Todd Bertuzzi joins us as he does every Tuesday morning. Perry Solkowski, James Cebulski. A lot happens in 7 days when we talk to you. Are the Canucks saying the right thing, and do they believe what they're saying, Bert, that they're playing good hockey and they'll get some bounces, it'll turn around, or is there just a belief in that room that they're just not good enough right now?
Well, it's really weird, Perry. I went through some stats today, and they're fourth in first period goals for with 19. They're first in the NHL in third period goals with 25. That means something's going on in the second period. And then I kept digging a little bit deeper. And they got the most goals. They're the third most goals against in the first period at 21. And they're fourth at 19-4. And then you look at the second period, they're number one with the most goals against with 32. And most third period, they're third with third period goals against. And if you actually look at some of the numbers and all that, their goals against is 78. That's second last. That's a little bit alarming with having that kind of firepower, not being able to keep it out of the net. But I believe they're saying the right things. They're trying to do the right things. The second period is a little bit alarming, but there's too many, like, seeing the positive in the goals for, but seeing the negatives in the goals against. The negatives in the goals against is outweighing that.
So what's the concern then, Bert? What, as a player, what do you think?
I think it's the same. It's not a player. It's team-wise. I think, and we discussed this week on week, it's just the critical turnovers. It's some guys forcing plays that shouldn't be forced. It's just a simple play. Instead, they're trying to do something, and that's just them trying too hard. It's not for lack of effort. They go out there and they play hard in each every night. They play fast every single night. Obviously, they're starting on time for having the most goals for in the first, but they're also giving up the fourth most or third most in the first two. So they're coming out working and all that. They're having maybe trying to come from behind or chasing or. But something's going on in the second period that they're giving up leads, and then sometimes it's a lead that is unsurmountable. It doesn't matter how hard they work or how much they do. Then when you're like that, you end up having to press. So those games that are maybe 3-2 or 4-2, and they're pressing to try to get back, they end up being 6-2. Like, if you look at the past little bit goals against, they're either blowing someone out or they're getting blown out. There's really not much consistency as close games are, and that's another thing you're going to learn how to do. You're going to learn how to play in close games, 1-0 games, 2-1 games. They sure did that last year, but they're lacking those opportunities this year to be able to see if they can do that.
Bert, it looks like they play not to lose, right? I think there's a difference, isn't there, playing to win and playing not to lose. They build that lead. They're up 2-0 the other night against Winnipeg. I'm going, next goal wins, because if it's the Jets, you just feel like, mentally, they're going, oh, man, we're letting this slip away again. Is there a difference between playing to win and playing not to lose?
Most definitely, and I'll use a golf analogy. It's like someone's got six holes left. He's up three. And instead of staying consistent with shooting at flags and playing the way he was, he's playing not to lose. And generally, when you play not to lose, you're either in a playoff or you just gave up the tournament and lost. And it seems that there's a lot of that going right now, and that has a lot to do with confidence, man. Confidence is the do all and end all in sports. If you have it, you roll. And if you don't, and playing on a team sport where you have a lot of individuals, if you got 6 to 10 guys that are lacking confidence at one time, ouch, that's a tough one to overcome. Like usually if you're rolling, maybe there might be one guy that's not playing his best, but everyone's playing good. And usually you can play catch up and get your confidence back and all that. But when you got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that aren't playing with confidence, you get those kind of outcomes for sure.
You know, when you look at where the Canucks have kind of gone the last few weeks, like they're playing a lot better these last 2 weeks, but then you look at the numbers, they've got just 2 wins in the last 10 games. Is this a case of, hey, look, this is a fragile team, or just simply teams just not good enough?
Yeah, Pierre, but you also look, they're still only 3 points out of a playoff spot. You got to find some positive out of all this, but unfortunately, they got 5 games more played than Montreal, 4 more than the Jets, and 3 more than
it's bad. Yeah.
So if you look at it, it's glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing, because yeah, they're only 3 points. It's not as if they're 10 points or 12 points out. They're literally 3 points out. But with those makeup games that all the other teams have to do, you already know what 5 games played for the Flames. They get all 5 wins. That's 10 points. That's tough to overcome big time. So it's, I don't know. I think for the Canucks, they just got to take it a game at a time. Don't look way too far. And I know it's cliche, and I hate cliches, but it's seriously, they're in that position right now where they can't look at the standings. They can't look at the games played. They just got to focus. Hey, we got Edmonton in a 2-game series. Let's just take it at a period of time. And you know what? They started off in the season early, had a very good game against Edmonton. So they know that they can play with them. They just got to come out strong in the first and then obviously take care of business in the second, because they're scoring a lot in the third. So it's going to be, this is a pretty crucial 2-game series coming up here, especially with the games played situation and the point diversion.
Hey, quickly, you know we love you, but you might be on our number 2 line today as far as power forwards, because Iggy's joining us at 8:00. You got a good
You know what? I just heard that he is coming on. Please tell Iggy I say hello. I loved playing with Iggy. Fantastic human being, Hall of Famer. And smart hockey guy, and can't say enough good things about him. Listen, before we tune off here, I just want to say one thing. The Red Wing family, the NHL family, and the Trainer family, over the weekend we lost, and this hits hard with me, we lost Sergei Chekmarov, better known as Chika. He was our equipment and massage therapist. But he was our best friend and our brother, and this one hurts a lot. Every one of the trainers will know who I'm talking about. He's legendary around all the NHL rinks, and he leaves behind his wife and his daughter, and we're having his funeral on Friday, and this one hurts a lot. So thanks for giving me the time just to say that, and rest in peace, Chica. I love you.
Sending a virtual hug there, man, and obviously you can hear it in your voice how much he meant to you, and I'm sure it touched the lives of a lot of guys. Is it a true family in the hockey world? You take care, and my sincere condolences there, Bert.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bert.
Thanks, guys.